May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I remember the day very clearly when I heard about climate change and environmental destruction for the very first time. I was in elementary school. I don't know, maybe I would have been in grade 2, something like that. A thoroughly imaginative and impressionable child, and not well liked by many of the cooler or the older children. My brother and I were walking home through this little path in the woods, and we were walking with one of these cooler, older children who was explaining to us about climate change. And he knew all sorts of facts that he had obviously just learned in school, and he was having this wonderful time terrorizing us with these facts. He said all this in that, you know, kids, when there's older kids, there's like, wow, all this, he said, waving his hand at the beautiful wood that we were walking through. He said, all this will be gone. It will be destroyed. All because of the ozone layer. It's going to disappear, and then the sun is going to frizzle us all up, and it's going to be like a nuclear wasteland. 10 years, he said. It's all going to be gone in 10 years. 10 years. And the whole earth is going to be frizzled to a crisp because of the ozone layer. And because of what we've done with all the pollution. Well, impressionable and imaginative child that I was, I received his prophetic word at face value. My goodness, the world, the whole world is going to be frizzled up to a crisp like a little matchstick, all because of what we were doing, and we only had 10 years left, and I started counting how old will I be in 10 years. I was like, oh my gosh, I'll be like 18 years old. I'm not even going to see my graduating, you know, like we're all just going to be frizzled to a crisp before then. The whole world, all these the woods that I loved so much, and my family, and our pets, and all horses in the whole world, and the polar bears, and the cheetahs, and tigers, and eagles, and all human beings everywhere. Everything was just going to be destroyed, all because of what we were doing. My goodness. Well, I was panic-stricken for days. More importantly, I was panic-stricken for nights. Nights and nights to come. My nights filled with nightmares about the environmental apocalypse and all these burnt-to-a-crisp cheetahs and things. Wild imaginings of how it was exactly going to happen and how it would feel. And sometimes, of course, then matching fantasies of becoming a superheroine and saving the world and leading everyone into a better way of living so that all the horses and the cheetahs could be saved. Well, knowing myself, I probably then became a real evangelist for environmentalism as a result of all of those sleepless nights of wild imaginings. Until probably my parents, my mother is here today, until my parents talked me down from, you know, this dramatic vision and helped me believe that the world maybe would not end in 10 years. But isn't this gospel text kind of like the same sort of thing? Another one of these narratives prophesying doom and whipping up that evangelical fervor of those who listen, leaving them desperate with worry and desperate for their loved ones, desperate to save those that they love, and their friends, desperate to save their friends. Because the promise in this gospel reading, of course, is that these terrible things are going to happen. But if you're very good and you're very lucky, then you will be one of those who is spared the doom that is to come. And my question is, what about now? Like, would Think about how that sort of apocalypticism has landed in this world, and that, you know, it's like we're convinced this world is going the way of the dodo, and so, you know, who cares what happens in this life? Who cares? Because Jesus is going to come again with, you know, the next time the blood moons come around or whatever it is, and then it'll all be over, so we don't need to worry about these things. We don't need to worry about these things. But what about now? What about now? Not now as some indistinguishable moment while we wait for the future to arrive. Not now as just some other scrap of time in which we can get ready for then, but just now. Now for its own sake, for the beauty and the gorgeousness of this moment. What about the beauty of an ordinary day? What about the miracle of being alive and the joy of being with loved ones? What about that prophetic challenge of encountering people who are different from us or who are difficult? Like, there was this woman the other day, I was late getting to an appointment and I was stuck behind her on a residential street. And she was, I am not joking, going 12 kilometers an hour. I have a new car and it tells me the exact number, 12 kilometers an hour for block after block after block. And every single intersection, she paused to see if anybody was coming or if she was going to turn there. I don't know. But it was like, oh, I'm late. And it was agonizingly frustrating to be stuck behind her. And then after escaping and arriving late for my appointment with my anxiety and stress through the roof, and then calming down, I realized she was probably lost in a strange neighborhood and trying to figure out where to turn. And since I didn't have any patience for her, I probably made her day a whole lot more stressful and anxious than it already, I think, probably was for her. But what about now? What about now? What about that moment that we're living in, this moment right here, when we are alive, we're breathing, we're in the midst of whatever it is that has brought us here, and we are about to go forward into whatever lies ahead, but for right now, we are just here. What a gift. See, for all that the early church, we've talked about the early church now for a couple weeks in a row, for all that the early church talked and taught and thought and wrote and fixated on the future which was coming, it's the present that they keep coming back to. The real faith journey is about the now. Keep awake, those early Christians kept saying, for we do not know the hour or the day. And what they mean is, don't just put up your feet and wait. Don't just put off for later until that thing comes and then finally it'll all really happen. But live here and now. Keep awake. You do not know the hour or the minute. Live in this moment now as if this moment might be the moment that is important, because you never know when it might be. Live this moment powerfully, deeply, intentionally. Care for your loved ones. Have compassion on the poor. Treat others with kindness. Drive safely. Live out justice as if this is the moment that determines everything. Live this moment as if it is important, cosmically important, theologically important, existentially important. That's what they kept saying. Live this moment as if this is the moment when your whole life might be determined. Anyone who has been in a serious car accident knows the truth of that. Every moment might be the moment where your life is changed. And the Christian message is that that is actually a very, very beautiful invitation. Live life well. Live it well. Live it justly. Live it kindly and compassionately. Live it with love and grace and beauty every moment that you are given. Because here we are in Advent. We're in the season of waiting. We're in the season of anticipation. We're in the season of major to-do lists, and there doesn't seem to be enough time to get all the baking and the decorating and the everything done, because now all of a sudden time is running short. We start to live, still lit. We start to live as if everything is for the future. Everything is for Christmas. But our lives are in progress, Our futures are being made quietly, gently, right here, right now. Every moment is the moment where we determine everything. We determine the course of our lives and the course of our character by how we live in the smallest of moments. You guys have heard this, me say this before. You know the thing about, you know, it takes 10,000 hours of practice to become a master at something? How many tens of thousands of hours do we spend practicing all kinds of different things? We spend hours practicing all kinds of different things. I spend hours practicing how to be very impatient. Like, I'm excellent. I am a master at being impatient. But how many hours do we spend doing things like driving compassionately? How many hours do we spend doing things like living our lives so that mercy and goodness follow us? They are the scent that we leave behind when we leave the room. What would it look like for us to practice and to live this life really as if every moment is a gift given to us to change the future that we are building for ourselves? Let us keep awake, therefore. For we do not know the hour or the day that will prove to be important. So the opportunity is to recognize every moment as important and to recognize every moment as that special moment when we determine the course of our lives, when we can live well, when we can live justly, when we can live lovingly, and discover the grace of God present and abundant, always and eternally. And all of that is contained in this moment right now, whatever moment that that is. May we have this grace right now and for the rest of today and for the rest of tomorrow and whatever other days there are to come. May God give us this grace. Amen.